talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. We're talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. Boxing. Just absolutely boxing.
Yo, welcome back to the Just Absolutely Boxing podcast. This is episode 32. My name is Ant, and with my man P.
What's up, everybody?
And today we're going to be doing something just a little bit different. We're going to be doing, I guess, what we can call a jab podcast exclusive. Thought we'd take a look back in history and revisit a few of our old favorite fights that would be nice to recommend to the listeners, you know, so y'all can kind of go back, maybe YouTube them, and you just watch the fights for yourselves and kind of get a feel of why we love and appreciate the sport. But before we do that, what's been going on with you, P?
Not too much, Ant. Just, you know, same old same, working, you know.
Yeah, man, same here.
On the grind.
Yeah. About to cut this other job out now, man. It's been draining. You know, I got so many other things I need to get done, and yeah, it's about time, you know?
This man working double time over here.
And he's single. He thinking I'm a clown. No, it's all good, though, man. But, yeah, the fights that we decided to choose were some of our personal favorites that we just really feel represented the sport in many different angles. You know, I feel like the fight I picked, it represents the sport in the way of, you know, showing real strength, technique, just the whole build up of contrasting styles. And for P, you picked a pair of fights that have some drama behind.
Yeah, well, my fights, the ones that I picked, and like I told you when you first brought me the idea, I told you it's a tough decision for me because it's a million good fights for a million different reasons. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Whereas your fight is more of a technical fight, you know what I'm saying? I picked a fight this. It was a lot of drama around it. It was a lot of build up to the fight, and the actual fights didn't disappoint, you know? So, I definitely think it's worth a watch. You know, if you get a chance to check it out on YouTube, you won't be let down.
Okay. Well, with that being said, I'll let you go first.
Okay, like I was just saying, man, it's hard to pick one favorite fight or two favorite fights. I mean, there's so many. but I went back to 2007, 2008. Ricardo Torres versus Kendall Holt. At the time, these guys were at the top of the division, 140-pound division. Ricardo Torres was the champion, WBO champion at the time, defending his belt for the second time against Kendall Holt. It was an interesting fight, Ant, because, I mean, I don't even know if people still do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like this, you know, Kendall Holt went to, you know, his backyard, which was Barranquilla, Colombia.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to go to the UK, right, you know. But some of these third world countries, man, it's lawless, man. Mm-hmm. So I had to take my hat off to the kid for even going over there. But he went over there and it was definitely hostile territory. The kid Torres, he was a solid champion. I mean, super hard puncher, applied a lot of pressure. So we kind of knew the blueprint for this fight. Kendall Holt was kind of known for having a really, really, really sharp, powerful left hook. So the fight style-wise, it looked like it would be pretty good. So, I mean, from the start of the fight, boom, these guys came out and they were rumbling, you know, going back and forth. Neither guy really taking the lead. It was kind of just back and forth. These guys exchanging, feeling each other out. Then about midway, round six, Kendall Holt dropped him, and the momentum of the fight changed a little bit, you know. But can you imagine, you're dropping the home in Colombia, dude?
Oh man!
So the crowd wasn't happy about that.
Yeah.
So the next couple of rounds, you know, Kendall Holt was still, you know, in the lead, taking it to him, you know, taking control of the fight. And then the 11th round, Ricardo Torres catches him, boom, knocks him into the ropes, knocks him down, you know. Crowd's going crazy, you know, there's bedlam in the crowd right now. Kendall Hope, who's a tough guy, and that's one thing I want to touch on too, is the difference between having a glass jaw and, you know, no chin, as opposed to, you know, because it's people who can be knocked down and get back up. Timothy Bradley,
yeah.
You know, you got some of these guys who they're going to get knocked down.
Right.
You know, but they always get back up, as opposed to somebody like, you know, no disrespect, Amir Khan, who, you know, he's short circuits. He's out.
His soul leaves his body.
Yeah.
But
so,
like,
Kendall Hart was one of those guys who, you know, pretty much you could guarantee he was going to go down. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He levels up when he gets down.
Exactly.
Down, he gets up. Yeah.
One of those type of guys. Mm-hmm. So, he, like I said, round 11, he caught him. You know, Kendall Holt was hurt, but he's a warrior. He's another, reminds me of a Diego Corrales, just, you know, heart of a lion. He's fighting. Torres has him hurt. And the ref, you know, comes in and stops the fight. I mean, it kind of was a controversial ending, because, I mean, Kendall Holt he was still able to fight. You know, he was taking some punishment, but he was still able to fight. But it was just like, I mean, you're fighting in a place like Colombia, man. And not to mention, in the 11th round, he's getting hit with beer cans. I mean, they're throwing stuff and they're throwing all kinds of debris in the ring.
Not with him leaving the ring. Like,
no, why? He's in the ring, dude. In the ring. In the middle of action, round 11. That's how crazy it was.
Wow.
I mean, he actually said he got hit in the head with a beer can, you know, in his management, you know, promotion, they wanted to contest the stoppage because of that or whatever, but it never happened. But it was just a very, very high paced, intense fight. You know, two guys with knockout power, and they were trading blows. And I just think it's interesting because he went to, you know, this hostile territory that I don't think guys have to do that anymore in today's, you know.
That's what I was about to ask you. I was about to say, you know, it's one thing to be a fighter, take punches, go in there and take on the best. But what does that say about a guy that's actually going to go to another guy's backyard like that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can't question him.
You know? you can't question him, man. Mind. I mean, because
what's in his mind.
Like, and think about it. And we talking about Columbia. Your life could really be on the line. If he disappeared, nobody cares.
Nobody's,
I mean, it's
anything.
Not like, you know, it's different over in some of these places or whatever. So, I mean, this was 2007. Who knows what type of payday he was getting to go over there, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, they wound up stopping it, you know, gave Torres the victory or whatever. Kendall Holt was a little upset, but it was just chaos at the end of the fight, debris, and he pretty much had to be ushered up out of, you know, the arena. But then 10 months later, they met in a rematch, and it was probably fight of the year in 2008. They actually fought, May the 5th, 2008,
okay.
And which was a rematch, and the rematch this time was in Vegas. I guess Kendall Hall said, you know, I ain't playing that game again. He came to Vegas, and round one, guns came out blazing. These guys met up in the middle of the ring, and they exchanging, throwing punches, boom. Ricardo catches Kendall with a big right hand, drops him, boom, 22 seconds within the fight. You
22
know?
Seconds 22 in.
Seconds, dude.
Not
22
seconds, like 22 seconds 22 in the fight.
22 seconds in the fight.
Damn.
Kendall Holt, like I said, he's going to go down, but he gets back up. He got back up. Another exchange, they boom, 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 trading, big exchange, boom, he gets dropped again. This time he looks hurt. He looks hurt this time. Kendall Holt goes down again. Like I said, heart of a lion, gets back up. They start engaging again, another exchange, boom, boom, boom. He has Torres up against the ropes, catches him with the vicious left hook to the body, and then a big right hand over the top, and Torres just short circuits. I mean, he's hung on the rope, just hanging, like out cold, hanging on the rope. I mean, it was one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen in boxing. I mean, I've seen guys knocked out the ring. I've seen guys unconscious, but this guy was, his arm was hung on the rope, and he was just out first round. And it was a very gratifying victory, I think, for, you know, Torres. I mean, excuse me, Kendall Holt being there. Yeah. You know, he went over there and went through all the stuff he had to go through. I mean, I don't think any fighter should have to go through. They're a professional athlete. And,
yeah, you know, let the fighters handle that. You know, exactly. Where the fight took place, things can get crazy, but be professional.
Yeah,
you know,
because and once again, too, that's another thing I don't think other sports have to deal with. They don't. Yeah. They go into hostile territory, but it's safe hostile territory.
It's controlled. Yeah, it's controlled areas. Hostile like territory. Like soccer, I say that's the one that can get most violent. That's the only one considerate, you know, exception, but. Even then, it's a little control. But boxing, you're only one man, and you don't have a team to back you up if people go crazy on you.
I mean, look at the Charlo fight. That was 2 weeks ago.
Chairs thrown.
Chairs thrown. You know what I mean? Again. It's just that atmosphere can be very hostile sometimes.
And again, when you mention it like that, just the individual going over there alone, you got to take your hat off.
Man.
That's just
because I'm thinking, man, this dude is crazy. I mean, the arena didn't look like. This was a title fight. This was a major fight in Colombia. It looked like a ballroom match or, you know, some of the local fights. It wasn't anything special. It just looked like any second it could explode. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, to me, those are two fights that if you watch, you're going to like them because, I mean, it's all action. You know, it's, and depending on, you know, what's your thing, you know, but. It's two guys had power. They were top 10 fighters, you know, it was equally matched and they went in there and it was all action and both fights ended in stoppages, you know? So, that's what I decided to bring to the table. And, you know, we decided to revisit this well, time and time again. Yeah. So we don't have to,
no doubt,
you know, overwhelm.
Yeah,
you know, each episode with a bunch of fights because there's so many.
But that's a nice. I like how you did. That was a nice. You did two fights, but they're just like they go hand in hand.
Yeah,
because it's like the first fight was a controversial stoppage, and then the next one's like, not this time, buddy. I'm knocking your ass out. You know.
And I honestly wanted to do Hagler and Hearns in this one.
Yeah.
But this one was they went hand in hand. They went hand in hand. You know, so I just roll with this one. You know, I'll. Say that one for another time.
Right.
But
what's like the one thing about the fight that just kind of stands out to you? Because you bringing that up to me, that was just one of those personal stakes for me, like just having that heart to go into that country and fighting that man in his backyard. Like, that's something.
To be honest,
I respect.
It took me years later to really realize
what
he did. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing about the sport. I mean, back in 2006, 2007, I was really just getting acclimated with the sport, you know, on a higher level, really getting into it. So, you know, years later, I'm starting to look back at these fights and see exactly what these guys were doing and, you know, how much heart and, you know, determination some of these guys had. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
You have to go back to see that, though. And at the time, I didn't realize, you know, what he was doing. But the one thing that stands out about this fight combined one and two is the way the second one ended. And once you see this visual, this image never leaves your head because you've never seen a guy done like this in a boxing ring before.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things. The second fight, just even though it was only one round, it overshadowed the whole 11 round war they had in the first fight. But it's just, like I said, it's just one of those things just to see this guy out cold and no moving, but hung on the rope. Like the ropes are just holding him up. Was just, I've never seen it before. And I've never seen it again since then or whatever. But I think they both were entertaining fights. And I would suggest and recommend, you know, if you got some free time and you want to see some good fights, check it out.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go back and watch them now. Like I told you, I remember the first fight, but around 2008, that time I used to be busy with school. So I missed the second fight.
Yeah.
And now I'm sorry I missed it, man.
Yeah.
Sorry I missed it, man. You just make it sound.
It only takes 3 minutes.
That's all it takes.
3 minutes of your time, man.
I can turn
that's
it on
it
now.
Yep.
But, I guess we'll move on to my fight. My fight is a complete opposite. It's more of a technical boxing match. And the reason I picked this fight, I just personally feel this fight just showcased that classic boxer versus puncher matchup. And the thing about it was, I really feel like this was one of the first fights for me, like you at the time, like around 2005, it was one of the first fights where I actually felt to myself, I professionally broke it down and I was able to call the winner and the fight went exactly how I felt. But the fight I'm talking about is Felix Trinidad versus Winky Wright. And that took place back on May 14th, 2005. And again, like when I first saw this matchup, I automatically was leaning towards Winky Wright because I'm a big Tito fan. I'm a big Trinidad fan, but there was just this one thing that I felt couldn't stop Winky Wright from winning, and that was his momentum. That was his determination. And I remember, like I was telling you earlier, I remember I used to work in a call center. And I used to just have all these Ring magazines in my cubicle. You know, while people cussing me out, I'm reading these magazines, just reading them. And, you know, this was one of the ones I picked up from the bookstore, like across the street. Right. They had Winky Wright and Trinidad on the cover. And like I said, as soon as I picked it up, I was like, oh, are they about to fight? And I was like, automatically something just said, after seeing their, you know, individual fights, I said, Winky's going to win this. It was just like, it just clicked in me. Because for one thing, at the time, Winky, he had just beat Shane Mosley 2 times. But that was at 154. You know, he hadn't even touched middleweight yet. But Trinidad, he was coming off the Hopkins fight. It was like maybe 4 years prior. He was coming off that loss. And since then, he wasn't really fighting that at a high level. He had one comeback fight against Ricardo Mayorga. But Ricardo Mayorga and Winky Wright, two different animals, you know, two different styles. And Mayorga, that's one of his favorite styles of fight, you know, just going right at it so you can get a knockout. But when they announced that Winky and Trinidad were going to fight, I was just like, this isn't really a good idea for Trinidad. Because for one thing, Winky Wright, his defense is just, it's insane. I mean, it seems so simple, but it's just insane. He's just got that, like, hands high guard. It's like a turtle. He's just coming for it. It looks like you could penetrate it, but you can't.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, back to what, you know, when I was doing my story, some of these things, it takes going back to see what these guys was doing. I never was a big fan of Winky Wright. I never really understood what Winky Wright was doing until I went back and analyzed the defense, the jab, stuff like that. But that's how boxing is. I mean, if you don't know what you're looking at, you don't, it doesn't look like anything. Yeah. So I just wanted to, you know, throw that in there because, like you say, Winky, he was doing a lot of stuff, but to the untrained eye, don't look like, just like he got his hands up high.
It looks,
you
know, just what I'm like saying? He's got his hands up, so, but it's just so many things to it. You know, he's got him tucked to his ribs, his elbows are to his ribs. Totally covered. And one thing, he has big forearms. You know, he's got those big forearms, so... I mean, a lot of guys, like, you know, what they do with Floyd, they try to mimic it, but, you know, you can't duplicate it. And another thing I felt like that he just had over Trinidad was natural strength. And by that, I don't mean power. Like, to casual fans, I want to say the difference between power and a boxer with strength is strength is being able to go 12 rounds, you know, without power and just being able to move guys and push them around and bully them. And that's something Winky Wright was able to do to Shane Mosley. You know, Shane Mosley was a diesel little dude, but he was able to just, like, muscle him.
Right.
And Winky Wright, he's always been, like, infamous for drawing guys into brawls and, you know, basically coming out on top with the exchange, you know. But he can beat guys up, but he just doesn't have that power. And because he doesn't have that power, he keeps that, you know, impenetrable defense.
Right.
Because, you know, he's not going to be able to knock a guy out. So he's he's able to, you know, prolong himself through a fight.
And that's what made him hard, you know, him have that other road to, like, the B-Hop road, because he had to go overseas to really get respect for Ye, you know what I'm saying, because his style, you know. But he had to, like Floyd, you customize what you have and you use the advantage, and that's what he did.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what I was saying, like, momentum. Like, he's been fighting overseas, Europe, England, you know, different parts of Europe, you know, Europe and South America for so long, and just been getting, like, the raw, you know, the raw end of it.
Right.
Like, even with decisions, like, he fought Fernando Vargas. Mm-hmm. You know, he traded with him, and a lot of people felt he won, but he didn't get the decision.
Right.
So from there, he just really kept that momentum going. You know, he kept taking guys, kept beating them, mm-hmm. beating them by decision. You know, he beat Road High the Shane Mosley fights, and mm-hmm. then he calls out Trinidad. You know, he wants that fight. But Trinidad, he been at 164 a few years, maybe like 4 or 5 years. And the one thing that carries him is his power. He has basic boxing skill, but I really just felt like at that time, his momentum was going down. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to a guy like Winky Wright, that wasn't a fight he should have been trying to take, especially after the Hopkins fight. We saw what a strong boxer can do to you. Mm-hmm. And it pretty much played out that whole way that night of the fight. Winky Wright, from round one, he was able to control the fight with that southpaw jab, man. It's one of the best jabs I ever seen in mm-hmm. boxing. Like
what you say, Anna? It was 199
jabs.
That's just one punch. Yeah. That's not hooks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, any other punch, 199 jabs.
Yeah. It started from round one. As soon as they got in the center of the ring, Winky just came forward, made Trinidad circle the way he wanted him to circle, mm-hmm. right into the jabs. Every time he would just pop, pop, pop with the jab. Trinidad could never get in there. Trinidad kept trying to get in, but every time he tried to get in with his left hook, the hands were right back to his mm-hmm. head. And every time he just walked him down again, mixing the left hand every now and then, but it was just a jab. He wanted all 12 rounds off the jab, 199 jabs. He could never find an answer for that jab. What does that tell you about a boxer? You know, what does that tell you about his style? Like, that whole fight, Felix Trinidad never figured out that he should have kept his lead foot on the outside of Winky's lead foot, uh-huh. just so he wouldn't get squared up.
Right.
But Winky was able to feign him in the direction he wanted him to go. So every time he would circle to his right, he would go right into his left hand. Or he would do the opposite, make him go right into the jab. And that's what he was able to do all night.
That's a probably a weird shot too, at a southpaw jab.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
Like before that, Trinidad hadn't really fought any southpaw fighters. He hadn't fought anybody. You know, Hopkins, Mayorga, William Joppy. Everybody right. he was fighting was guys with their chins open, of course, orthodox style, somewhere we could get shots off. But this was just like a completely different style for him.
Right. And especially somebody, the southpaw that capitalizes on the jab. That's not most southpaws'
it's not
weapon.
It's not you that weapon. I mean? It's the straight left hand.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Yeah. And it all came down to that jab, because Trinidad never, you know, he was never expecting it. It's just mm-hmm. the way he could make Tito circle right into his jab. And
right.
Trinidad never, he was never able to figure that out, man.
That ring generalship, that ring IQ.
Yeah, that ring IQ. About, yeah. You know? And
guys are thinking.
That kind of brings me back to why I like this fight so much, because, like I said, it was one of those fights where this is how I broke it down to people, too, like some fans of boxing that kept saying Trinidad would win. Like, in the call center I worked, I had a lot of, you know, Puerto Rican fans, you know, Trinidad mm-hmm. there. So they were like, oh, Trinidad's going to knock his ass out. And I was like, well, let me break it down to you. But, you know, I was actually breaking it down to him. And the next day when they saw me, I was like, what did I tell you? Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't have nothing to do with not liking Trinidad, because I was a fan of him. But just riding off of momentum alone, what Winky was doing and what Trinidad was doing, it's just something he's never faced before.
Right. So and like you say, Trinidad being on the down, you know, slide, that mm-hmm. B-Hop loss. And then you said, well, he had one more fight after that or something. Or Mayorga.
Yeah, after the Hopkins fight, he had like one other fight against a no-name, and then he had the fight with Mayorga, yeah, which was a style that favored him, you know? Yeah. So,
but it still wasn't, that was down for him.
It was, you know, down what I mean? It, yeah, was, it was down for him, yeah, because yeah. it was more just like a sideshow type right. fight, not like a championship
exactly.
fight. And I guess he wanted to prove that he could get back into the mix, but sometimes matchmaking is important, you know? Your team needs to make sure you are prepared for that guy. Right. You know, you don't have to duck him, but let's
it's
make sure.
It's not cherry picking. It's matchmaking.
It's matchmaking.
It's a word.
It's business.
Something. Yeah,
you know,
business, you know?
This wasn't a guy, like I said, like, it was just like this, it was just like this feel, like this fight, when I knew it was going to be made, I was like, oh, this is a big mistake, man. Mm-hmm. This is a big mistake, because Winky Wright all day, I just feel like he has one of those simple but unique styles in boxing.
Yeah, definitely.
And definitely. I feel like he just didn't get the, he didn't get the biggest opportunities like he should have, you know?
Yeah. That's why I say he had the B-hop role. You know, when these guys have to work for everything they get. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
They get dealt the bad end of a decision.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. You know, and it's guys that have that B side, and it's guys that have that A side. You know what I'm saying? I would call the B side that Bernard Hopkins side, the guys who didn't have all the glitz and the glamour and the, you know what I'm saying, the perks to come along with it. They had to fight for everything they had, and Winky Wright definitely was one of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's just an interesting story, because you're the underdog, but you rise to the top, and everybody likes to see the underdog come up. You know what I mean? And so.
And he's never, as many times as he was dealt a bad decision or never getting the big fights as he wanted, he always came to fight. Every time he came into the ring, he would always put on that performance. I mean, like I said, who in boxing do you know enjoys going 12 rounds with that style and doesn't try to knock you out? Like, but he at the same time, like, he doesn't have that power, but it's still entertaining.
Right.
Like when he fought Shane Mosley, you know, he went 24 rounds with him, but all the while you're just like having fun watching the way he's like
picking you apart.
Like Shane Mosley, he was like the jab, 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 just kept hitting him in the face, and he couldn't answer it. And like then he had to make the fight exciting. Like in the rematch, he gave Shane Mosley a couple free shots that rocked him, but he was able to bounce back and just go back to what he was doing. You know, I mean. Like, I wouldn't recommend any other fighter do that, but I mean,
of course.
But I mean, Winky and Trinidad, I feel like they're both great fighters in their own way. And I feel like Trinidad, his best days were welterweight.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, I feel like that was his best time. But Winky Wright, he was just a natural 154-pounder.
And whatever happened to Winky, he fought. Who did he lose to? He lost one last fight. Was it Chad Dawson or somebody?
His last fight was back in 2012.
It's Paul Williams.
He lost in 2009, but 2012 he fought Kid Chocolate.
Okay, and that was his last fight.
Because he's lost that Hopkins fight. After that, he lost to Paul Williams. That was a good fight. And then somebody else, and then he lost to Kid Chocolate. Kid Chocolate won. First fighter to knock him down in like almost 10 years, too.
Really? Right? Yeah. He dropped him down?
He dropped him in the fight,
But Winky had gotten old by that time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was definitely older. I mean, he didn't come in the best of shape in that fight.
And then he's battle-tested. I mean, he's fought overseas. He's fought here. He's been
great in, chin, you know, man. He has one of the best chins in boxing, man.
Definitely battle-tested, so.
Yeah. Definitely, man. But. Was there any other question you had about that fight, man? Like,
not for me, because you know we watch all this stuff all the time, and you know, which will bore most people, but we can do it anytime. So, but it was interesting hearing your breakdown and your perspective on that fight. You know, I mean, like I said, Winky Wright is the type of guy that, I mean, for me, I had to go back and realize what he was doing and give him credit, you know what I mean? Because that's the thing about boxing, dude. I mean, it can look like somebody's not doing anything, but they're doing so much. Floyd, man, he ain't doing nothing, but he's thinking. He's watching you breathe. He's thinking about this. He's talking to people outside the ring. It's so much going on, dude. You know what I mean?
Going back to Winky, as much as I don't really agree with things Larry Merchant say, but Larry Merchant was right about one thing when he was fighting, is that Winky Wright, he said he was like an armored tank coming forward, just unloading rockets on you.
That's it.
And it's crazy because, that's the best way to describe his style.
That's his style. Arms up high. Moving forward and
he's able to take a punch at the same time. Yeah. And that's what kind of makes his opponent discourages his opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the Jermaine Taylor fight. Which was a classic fight.
Crazy fight.
Yeah, it was a good fight. Crazy. Man. Yeah. But those are some of the fights that some of our personal favorite fights, you know. Where does that rank your fight, Kendall Hope versus Tori? Where does that rank?
And for me again, Ryan, I honestly can't put numbers on the fights because
you can't.
Yeah. That fight, it wasn't the most technically sound fight, but it was a good fight. You know, mm-hmm. the fight you're talking about, it's boxing on a higher level. It was technically sound. We're watching a guy who's in there constantly thinking, setting traps, making this guy do what he wants him to do. But if you don't know that's what he was doing, that you don't understand.
So,
this is just so many ways to look at fights, man, and break them down and analyze them. It's never really a right or wrong way. And, you know, the worst fight, somebody else might love it. Like I say, it might be aesthetically pleasing to another person, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, if two tomato cans in there, that's not good to anybody. But I'm just saying, I mean, for example, Cuban, you know, showdown, that could be a lot of just countering and movers and angles, not a lot of
big chess match.
Yeah, it could be a chess match. Yeah. Which people who like chess and like that style of boxing is very interesting. It's boxing on a higher level.
Yeah, something like that would be like a chess match versus some two fighters in Mexico. It'd be more of a slug,
which is just as entertaining. It's just as entertaining. I mean? Yeah. It's both ways for me, and I like the brawls. I like the chess matches too. You know,
same here, man.
I mean, I like two guys that are brawling, but it's skill brawling still. You know, these guys are trained, they're in shape, and they're not just throwing punches. Yeah. You know, even brawlers, they're trying to be strategic. You know what I'm saying?
They are, because if you look at somebody like Maidana, people think he's just a wild puncher, but you have to set up those overhand rights. You have to set up those power punches. Cause I mean, if you throw them the wrong way, you can fall. If you throw them the wrong way, you can get countered.
Yeah, and he's been dropped. So trust me, you know, he's thinking about getting countered. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of thinking either way, you know, you look at it, but you just learn to appreciate both styles. Yeah. And for me, because I've seen, you know, so much stuff, you know, seen come from behind stories, I've seen underdog stories, I've seen triumph, you know, it's so many different angles of the sport, man.
It's crazy. Like
when you say my favorite fight or number of fights, it's kind of like rap music with me, dude. I can't really do that. You know, or movie. I can't really, you know, I like movies for different reasons, you know?
Yeah, now you mentioned that. It's like with me, like, with music, because like each song I listen to has like a personal stake in me. I like it for a certain reason.
Dude.
You need it just as much as you need the other.
The other song.
You know, like when I see a technical boxing match, I need it just as much as I need the other one. The brawl.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That's a beautiful metaphor, analogy, whatever you want to call it, but it is, because it's the same way. You got your music, it's time to work out, or I'm throwing on my DMX, or it's time to chill, I'm throwing on my Lauryn Hill, my Sade, whatever it may be. You know what I'm saying?
But you go back to the 80s.
You go to the 80s, you know what I'm saying? You know, but whatever it is, it's a song for that, you know?
Yep.
I mean, the way we analyze it anyway, and I mean, I don't know if the world analyzes
it. Yeah,
like
we see
us,
it. We see it as music sometimes, you know? A fight is like a symphony, like people say.
Like they say, poetry in motion.
It's poetry in motion.
It's art. It's art form.
Yeah. But, guys, like we're saying, these were just some of our personal favorite fights, and we really recommend you check them out. Yeah, I'm pretty much for sure they're all on YouTube.
Yeah.
I've watched Winky Wright Trinidad a few times on YouTube in the past. So, yeah, definitely check that fight out. Check out Kendall Holt versus Ricardo Torres. Right?
Yes, sir.
Ricardo Torres 1 and 2. But anything you want to say in closing, Pete?
No, I just want to give a shout out to Vegan April, you know, for all those vegans out there. I'll let Vegan April. She can hook you up with all your healthy treats.
But just to say in closing, like I always say, you know, boxing is life, you know? Yeah. I mean, and these fights are good examples of that. Sometimes you just got to go in there and be technical with certain things in life situation, and you just got to approach it in the manner that's best for you.
Right.
You know, you can't always please everybody.
Exactly.
Like, say, if you're a Winky Wright, you got to go in there and do what works for you.
You got to do what works for you.
And in the long run, it pays off. Right. It might not be a short night for you, but in the long run, it pays off.
And that's probably the moral of both of these fights. And in the long run, they pay off. Now, Holt had to go over in hostile territory, which a lot of people would have turned away.
Yeah.
But it turned around working out for him. He went over there, endured that, lured him back to Vegas, knocked him out in the first round.
Yep.
I mean, in the long run, it worked out for him.
Yeah, he took a scary road, but he showed the warrior's heart. And in the long run, like you said, it proved in his favor.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, that's all we got for this evening. Like I always say, make sure you check us out on iTunes and subscribe there. And just follow us on SoundCloud at the hashtag Jab Podcast. If you type that in, like I always say, we the only thing that comes up because we the only ones in this lane.
You know it, man.
And like us, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Jab Effect. Visit jabeffect.com. I'm alongside my partner P, and my name's Anthony, and we're about to sign off. Peace.
Peace.